I my cross have taken, all to leave and follow thee. Destitute, despised, forsaken, thou from hence my all shall be. Perish every fond ambition, all I've sought or hoped or known. Yet how rich is my condition, God in heaven are still my
home. It's Thursday, October 20th, 2011. I'm Ben Bowden, and this is the First Baptist Daily, a daily podcast aimed at the understanding and application of God's Word. It's been said, if you find gold in manure, you better find out where the cow's been eating. We've been diving into Philippians 1, and today we're going to look at verse 15 through 18. And at the end of verse 18, Paul says something very interesting. He says that he rejoices. Now here's a man who is in prison. He's been abandoned by some of his closest friends, and he says he rejoices. So this just begs the question, where has Paul been eating? How in the world is he rejoicing at a time like this? Let's read it together. Starting in verse 15, the Word of God says, some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I'm put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of rivalry, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed. And in that, I rejoice. The identity of those here who preach Christ from envy and rivalry is difficult to determine. We just don't know. They're probably Christians who preached a generally sound gospel, basically meaning salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. But they just didn't like Paul. Maybe because of the persecution and imprisonments that he had experienced, they were embarrassed and or scared to be associated with him. Who knows? We just don't know. But this is what we do know. Paul was in prison and Paul rejoiced. The reason? It's because Christ is proclaimed. See, the rejoicing did not come from his circumstance. The rejoicing came from something that was far bigger than his circumstance. It was the fact that Christ was being proclaimed. The truth is, Christ is better than anything in the world. He's just better than anything in the world. Romans 11, verse 33 says, oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. Ephesians 3, verse 17 and following says that you, this is a prayer that Paul is praying for the church of Ephesus, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Colossians 1, verse 15 through 20 says, he is the image of the invisible God, talking about Christ, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Christ is better than anything else in the world. Like, it is all about Christ. He is amazing. He is mighty. He is majestic. And he is worthy of praise. He's worthy of worship. And Paul sees this. Paul sinks his teeth into this truth. And he's obsessed with Christ himself. He's just obsessed with Christ. So much so that even though people have deserted him, and even though people are personally at odds with him, he rejoices. It's like the old hymn, "Jesus, I My Cross Have Taken." It says, "Let the world despise and leave me. They have left my Savior too. Human hearts and looks deceive me. Thou art not like them untrue. And while thou shalt smile upon me, God of wisdom, love, and might, foes may hate and friends disown me, show thy face and all is bright." All is bright. All is good. Christ is preached, and in that I rejoice. You can take my life, but if Christ is being preached, amen. It's all good. So here's a take home. Let us love Christ. Let us love Christ. See, the glory of God is being revealed through the mercy of Christ crucified. So when Christ is preached, sinners can be saved, God is glorified, and we're happy because we love Christ. And we can be happy even in the midst of pain and hardship if Christ is being preached. So let us love Christ. Let us live for the advancement of his gospel, and in so doing, magnify Christ in all the earth. I'm going to remind you that on Fridays at the First Baptist Daily, we take one of your questions. If you ever have a question for the First Baptist Daily, you can send it to ben@fbcenterprise.com or on Twitter at twitter.com/jbenbowden. Now, tomorrow's question is interesting, and it reads, "How should Christians treat Halloween?" We're going to look at that from a biblical worldview tomorrow. We'll meet again on the First Baptist Daily.
My Savior too. Human hearts and looks deceive me. Thou art not like man untrue. And while thou shalt smile